At the UN Climate Summit in Dubai, more than 100 countries are supporting a plan to triple renewable energy by 2030. It will not be enough to fix the climate crisis. A new report out today from the Global Carbon Project says CO2 emissions were up this year, despite the explosive growth in renewables and electric vehicles. That's why some scientists have endorsed carbon removal projects to pull greenhouse gases out of the atmosphere. This week, our climate series, Reverse Course, has been digging into that technology. We've heard about carbon removal by land and by sea.
What we're doing is we're intervening, grabbing that wood before it rots and sinking it down into the deep ocean where that carbon is sequestered.
Today, carbon removal by air, which uses technology called direct air capture, or DAC. NPR's Camila Domonoske is here with us for more. Hi, Camila.
Hi, Peter.
So the federal government is investing billions of dollars in this technology that, by the way, is different than capturing carbon as it comes off a smokestack of a power plant, right? Like, how does direct air capture work exactly?
Right. The key difference is that this is sucking out carbon dioxide that was previously released into the atmosphere and has dissipated out. So it's a lot more challenging from a technological perspective just because the concentration is really low. But you have some sort of chemical reaction that pulls carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere and bonds it into a chemical substance. And then you have a series of steps that you take to isolate just the carbon dioxide out. In the end, you have a stream of pure carbon dioxide.
You know, I've seen one of these DAC plants, as they're called, operate in California, and I've been really interested in their scale. How much carbon are we talking about here that they can take out of the atmosphere?
That is the trillion-dollar question in some ways, because right now the scale is tiny. I mean, Occidental Petroleum is building what will be the biggest direct air capture plant in the world. When it's open, it will run for an entire year and pull out 7 minutes worth of the world's emissions, right?
Wow.
But the oil industry in particular and some climate-focused groups are envisioning a potentially enormous scale for how much direct air capture the world might use several decades from now. This is a huge topic at the UN climate talks that are happening right now. In fact, the question over how much carbon dioxide we can feasibly remove from the atmosphere. The technology is not inherently limited. You can build these plants anywhere, right? Because they're sucking the carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. But it's expensive and it takes, in many cases, a tremendous amount of energy to operate them. So those are among the limiting factors. There are others. And how much the world actually will be able to build, it's a huge open question right now.
And now you mentioned Occidental Petroleum. This is an oil company that's playing a big role in one of these hubs. And they're not doing it because they've given up on fossil fuels. When you interviewed the CEO, Vicky Halab, she told you that she wants to use the carbon they suck out of the air to dislodge hard-to-get oil underground, to inject it back underground, to push out that oil. She calls it net zero oil. Let's listen.
It's really going to take oil to be produced for decades to come. And if it's produced in the way that I'm talking about, there's no reason not to produce oil and gas forever.
No reason not to produce oil and gas forever. That is controversial. Talk about net zero oil and whether it's possible.
Yeah, this is a really interesting topic. You know, Occidental Petroleum is pursuing two different paths for its direct air capture plants. It's taking some carbon dioxide and it's just injecting it deep underground to store it. But it's also planning to take carbon dioxide from the air and inject it into old oil fields to squeeze more oil out of the ground. And the idea is if you use carbon dioxide that was pulled out of the atmosphere to do that, that you can then sell that oil at a premium, Vicky Halab thinks, as a climate-friendly oil, that you don't have to change anything else about your systems. You don't have to decarbonize. You don't have to pivot away from oil. I mentioned earlier that it's really energy intensive to pull carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. It's also really expensive. Groups like the International Energy Agency say that we will need direct air capture, but that we need it to balance out emissions we can't cut any other way, right? Vicky Halab has a vision of using much more oil and balancing it out with much more carbon dioxide removal.
But you're still burning the oil. You're still burning the carbon, aren't you, Camila?
Exactly. You burn the oil and the oil releases carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. The argument is that if you are sucking an equal amount of carbon dioxide back out, it balances out. It doesn't address things like air pollution and the health costs of using oil. There are real questions about methane leaks and how airtight the entire system can be. The accounting of it is complicated. There are big debates over the future of this idea.
So on the one hand, you've got this idea to use the carbon to pump it underground to get more oil out of the ground, right? That's controversial, as you just explained. On the other hand, some people say this technology can be used to be stored permanently underground. And we're going to get to that tomorrow when we talk about a company in California that is sending carbon that it removes from the air and injecting it into concrete. They say it lasts forever. But finally, just before we let you go, Camila, how much stock are governments and climate scientists around the world putting on this technology? How much of a difference could it make as we try to solve the climate crisis?
You know, at this point, major groups agree that we will need this technology, essentially because we are so far behind on our climate goals that we can't meet them without having large-scale removal. On the other hand, they really emphasize that it shouldn't be used as an excuse to fall further behind, right? That given how challenging it is to pull carbon dioxide from the air, that we ought to cut emissions as much as possible before we rely on this removal tech.
NPR's Camila Domonoske reporting on direct air capture. We're going to have more on this topic tomorrow as our series Reverse Course continues. Camila, thank you so much.
Thank you.